Okay, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Praise the Lord. My name is Brother Carlos, and we are coming to you live once again for our Wednesday night fellowship. Tonight, for those of you that are watching online, and for those of you that are in-house, you guys know it's a very special night. We have an amazing missionary in the Lord, Sister Brittany Shear, who's going to be presenting tonight on a great ministry that the Lord has called her unto, Africa. And we look forward to learning more about that. And so in a few minutes after we do a little singing as unto the Lord, a little video introduction, we're going to call her on up here, and she's just going to share her heart and the vision that the Lord's placed on her heart, and however we can come along her side in prayer and financial support as for the work that she's been called unto. So we want to thank God for those of you that are watching online and in-house. And Brown Hymnal, page 322, for those of you that are here, in-house, 322 in the Brown Hymn, Glory to His Name, amen. Glory to His Name. On the one.
Where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Good singing, church, on the two.
I am so wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Good singing, church, on the third.
Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name.
There in my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. On the last.
Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and sing one more. I'm just feeling spiritual tonight. Amen. I'm just feeling good tonight. Let's go ahead and turn in our Brown Hymnal here to song. Let me just quickly look it up here. Song. Y'all know this song. Y'all love this song. And I almost found it. Oh, 15. Song 15. This is one of my favorites. I'm just feeling great. Feeling good to be saved. Amen. No matter the affairs of this life, I have everlasting life. I know you do too. Praise the Lord. And I'm very excited to learn about tonight's mission presentation to support men and women who have dedicated themselves to the work. And it's just refreshing my spirit to know that people are still dedicated to do something for Jesus, especially for the younger crowd. Amen. All right, song 15, Revive Us Again. Y'all already know. On the one.
Oh, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the two.
Oh, we praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the third.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the fourth.
All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the five.
In thee only good, in us only ill, and sin has but shown us thy life deeper still. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the six.
In this wilderness, Ebenezer, we praise. Hitherto thou hast helped us, thy name that we praise. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good singing, church. On the last. Sing it out loud.
Oh, we praise thee, O God, for the joy thou hast given
to the saints in communion these 4 days of heaven.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Praise the Lord. Good singing, church. All right, let's go ahead and stand and greet one another. Amen. As we get ready for some announcements. Thanks for singing.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank God for those of you that are joining us in-house. We want to thank God for those of you who are watching us online. Truly is a blessing. Amen. Yeah, brother, it's good to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we get ourselves ready here for our announcements. Amen. Oh, if you can turn it off, Kwame, just turn off the sensor. There we go. All right, praise the Lord. Well, let's go over some quick announcements as we get ready for this awesome night. How many of you guys are excited to learn more about missions to Africa? I know I am. I've been anticipating this day since last year. I'm looking forward to hearing a testimony from a young, amazing sister in Christ, Sister Brittany Shear, and the work that the Lord's called her unto and her faithful response to go. Amen. What an amazing encouragement it is to learn that there are still young people on fire for Jesus. Amen. That's a blessing. All right, guys. So for those of you that are in-house and for those of you that are watching online, quick announcements here at Simple Faith Baptist. You already know we are located at 1836 Dixie Street here in Oceanside, California. We rent from the Friendly Church of God in Christ. Our current schedule here, friends, is Wednesday night, tonight, 7 o'clock. We usually have midweek Bible study, but we're going to have a pause tonight for an amazing missions presentation. Following up with Friday discipleship class happening this Friday night at 7 p.m. I'm looking forward to that as well. And then for our Sunday, we have Sunday school at 1 o'clock p.m., 1:45 p.m. All this is Pacific Standard Time for those of our friends that watch from around the world. We do want to thank you for tuning in online. You can find out a little bit more about us by clicking on this tab, Our Beliefs, Our Church Team. We're going to go in and click on this prayer tab. For those of you who know, the most important announcement we make here at this church is prayer. How many of y'all need prayer? I need prayer. Amen. We all need prayer. Amen. And the Bible tells us for here in 1 Timothy 2 that the Lord wants us to be in prayer for all men, and He wants them to be saved. So what I want to encourage you to do is online, submit your prayer request right there. Or for those of you that are visiting in-house, just say, brother, I need prayer. Amen. We'll pray for you. Or you can put on a little offering envelope, put your prayer request, put it right over there in the back of that there box. Kwame, you're going to have to hold your prayer request to the end, man. Okay, man. Oh, come on now. Priority prayer up here. Secondary prayer. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Y'all already know. It's going to be a good time. Let's pray in prayer for one another. That's the most important thing we can do outside of preaching, teaching, learning is to pray, talk to God on behalf of one another. So current and future ministries, again, for those of you who know, we go soul winning on Saturdays. I'm looking forward, Lord willing, if the weather's right. If not, you know what? Let's just hold up an umbrella, and we have a street sign. That's fine with me. We took a break from last Saturday. For those of you who know, we honored Brother Qualmain and his family. Woohoo! We had an amazing little mini Bible conference. How about that? That was pretty awesome. From Brother Josh from Bible Believers Baptist in El Cajon. And all the brethren preaching for us, and we ended it with an ordination for the deaconship for Brother Qualmain. What a blessing that was. Faithful brother, fellow companion in labor. And praise the Lord for that. So this Saturday, we will be out there, Lord willing. 2 o'clock, meet here at the church house, get our scripture signs and gospel tracts, and hit the streets. And we have currently on hold our mission trip to Ensenada, Mexico, but one day we'll be getting back there soon. So keep that ministry in prayer as we prepare ourselves. Currently, we're live streaming on the Facebook Church and YouTube. You can click on that, and it'll redirect you. Bible study resources and tabs. We want to continue to show some love to fellow Christian ministries that have been a blessing to us in doctrine, learning more about history, things like that. Feel free to click on that. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, feel free to give a love offering. Our normal giving is on Sundays, but you can do so here online, and everything is done via PayPal. Nice and secret between you and God. Amen. And so with that said, before we get started for our amazing, awesome presentation by Sister Brittany Shear, let me just get this cool thing ready here for you. We're going to play a quick video, and it's going to be a presentation of the overall ministry and the vision that she has and what's taking place there in Africa where she's serving. So give me a minute or two here to set it up so that way everything goes smoothly for those of us in-house and those of you watching online. And then after that six-minute video, I'm going to come back and call her on up here, make sure the audio's working for her, and then she'll take the rest to present to us, share her heart, and however we can come alongside her and support her in that work. Amen. So just give me a minute here. I'm going to get the video pulled up here, and that way we can see this awesome video that she's put together here.
Missionary. The word has always intrigued me. I remember as a little girl poring over missionary biographies, anxiously turning page by page, anticipating the missionary adventures and being in awe of their journeys. I even dared to hope, could God use me to be a missionary someday? I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home and missions-minded church, and to accept God's gift of salvation at the age of 13. I attended West Coast Baptist College and remember the exact moment that God began working on my heart for the country of South Africa. During one of our weekly missionary prayer bands, missionary Brent Berge stood up and said, "My family and I are going to South Africa to work with orphans, and we need help. Will you pray about joining us?" I felt God tugging at my heart as I listened to the plight of the orphan and the need for the gospel in South Africa. I took one of the Burgess prayer cards and began asking God if He would somehow use me to help. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College and spent a year teaching at a Christian school. One day, I was scrolling through Facebook and stopped on a post from the Burgess family. Their ministry in South Africa was expanding quickly, and they asked again for help, this time for single young ladies to intern with them for 3 months. I signed up that very day. A few months later, I was on a plane to South Africa. Culture shock, bugs, snakes, life lessons, you name it, I experienced it during that initial internship. But during the stretching, God was also preparing me for something bigger. He was teaching me to rely fully on Him. He was teaching me how shallow my American dreams really were. He was teaching me the value of the gospel and the miracle of watching lives literally change. And I was falling in love with orphan ministry and missionary life. When my 3 months were up, I did not want to get on that plane. The next year, I tried to settle into life as a Christian school teacher, but my heart was in South Africa. I kept asking God to show me His will, to make the way perfectly clear. Then I got a call from the Burgess asking me to consider coming and helping for another 3 months. I didn't hesitate for a second. The answer was yes. By the end of my second 3 months on the mission field, God's will for my life was perfectly clear. He wanted me to be a missionary to South Africa. I am excited to be sent out of Grace Baptist Church and partnering with Macedonia World Baptist Missions as I seek to return to South Africa as quickly as possible.
Hi, my name is Brent Berge, and this is my wife, Selena. We are church planting missionaries in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and also the founders of Little Fish Ministries Children's Home.
We are so excited to introduce to you and recommend to you Brittany Shear, both as a missionary and as a valuable partner with our Little Fish Ministries team.
We are so excited to welcome Brittany to come join our team, and we can't wait to get her over to South Africa to help minister to children.
South Africa is a country on the tip of Africa that is rich in cultural diversity, from the beautiful views of the Indian Oceans to the vast expanse of bush, from the amazing animals to the unwanted creatures. South Africa is an incredible place. There are modern roads, homes, and even shopping malls. Yet according to World Bank, South Africa remains the most economically unequal country in the world. The separation between the rich and the poor is evident everywhere you look. The vast majority of the country is still living in a third world environment. Therefore, extreme poverty, high unemployment rates, crime, and an AIDS epidemic are faced by the majority of the population. The average South African lives on only $200 a month. My family and I landed in South Africa in 2017, and in the space of 3 years, we have watched God grow our ministry beyond even our expectations. We have started a church, a children's home for orphans, a public school ministry, and an intern program. Our ministry focus can be summed up with our CARE acronym, caring for abandoned children by providing for all of their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs in our children's home. Advancing God's kingdom through church planting. Reaching the vulnerable with the gospel through practical ways, medical missions, and public school ministries. Evangelizing the lost through soul winning, discipleship, youth and children's ministries, and music ministries. Just this year, Little Fish Ministries purchased almost 24 acres of land for our children's home, and we are ready to begin building cottages for orphans and staff. The amount of children we can reach with the life-changing gospel is limited only by the amount of staff we have on the ground.
Thank you for allowing me to share my burden with you. My desire is that through my life, I may point other people to Jesus Christ. My goal is to not only teach these children how to read and to write, but to love God with all of their heart. Through your prayers and your support, you can have a part with Little Fish Ministries as we reach the orphans of South Africa for Christ.
There are 4 million reasons to support Brittany Shear, and that number is growing every day in South Africa. That is the number of children that are orphans. Will you prayerfully consider taking Brittany on for monthly support? God bless you and thank you.
Wow, praise God. I don't know about you guys, but I did get a little teary-eyed there, man, watching that presentation. That's a blessing there to see the life that's out there, the ministry and the work that God has out there. Amen. Well, without further ado, we're going to dedicate the rest of our evening to hear Sister Brittany share her heart. She's going to explain a little bit more about her ministry. She's going to navigate through the online websites that we have already loaded for y'all so you guys can hear more of her heart. And afterwards, she'll have a time of questions and answers and a pretty cool little table to show us some cool things. With that said, let's go ahead and welcome up Sister Brittany and see how the Lord will bless us through her heart. Amen.
So like the video said, I'm going to the country of South Africa, and our goal is to help the approximately 4 million children there who are orphaned or abandoned, and many of these children are orphaned due to the AIDS crisis there in South Africa. And so as a ministry on our property, what we want to have is we want to have homes for the children where we'll have several family-style homes. So there will be 3 to 6 children plus a caretaker in that home. And so it'll be a family style. And with the property, we want to have like our own little neighborhood where it's our support group and we're all right there and we have animals for the kids and a nice play area and things for the children there. We currently have 3 kids, 3 little boys who are 4-year-old, or the twins are 3-year-old twins, and then an older boy, unrelated, he's 6. And when I get to South Africa, I'll be working with helping them with the school ministry. We want to establish a Christian school for the kids so that we can teach them the academics that they need, but also teach it in a biblical way. And so this is our team here. We've got a team here. So this is our nurse. Let me see if I can open this bigger. Yes. Oh, wow. All right. This is something new they've been working on. Updating our ministry website and Facebook. So I'll be teaching and helping with the Christian school. And then this is Hannah. She's a nurse. And then Brother Brent and Selena. And they're the ones who really started Little Fish Ministries a few years ago. And since then, we've all gotten to join and be a part of it. And this is Lorna. She started helping through the intern program like myself. And so Lorna's going to be the house mom. So she'll have a home set up with the 3 boys and a few other kids as the Lord brings them our way. And so just to be able to kind of be almost like a mom to those kids. And then we have Brandon and Maggie Byerly, and the Byerlys, Brother Brandon is like a handyman, so he'll be helping with construction and different things. Oh, shame. All right, well, we'll pause it right there. So yeah, Mrs. Byerly's a nurse, and so she'll be helping with that. And then Brandon is going to be like an assistant to Brother Bergie and just help with all that. And then we have the Womacks, and Matt and Courtney, they've worked with the education before, and he was a youth pastor before the Lord called them to South Africa. So they'll be able to help me with the school and help with the teens and different aspects. And in South Africa, once I get there, everybody will be aunt and uncle. So We might say here, brother, sister. In South Africa, we'll say Uncle Matt, Aunt Courtney. And so even the Burgies, when I went to intern with them, we called them Uncle Brent and Aunt Selena. And then the rest of these pictures are the kids. So here's Ellie and Nathaniel Burgie. These are two of the Burgies' kids. And they, Nathaniel's very gifted in music, so he helps with the church. And Ellie has a burden just to reach the teenage girls in our community through the church and other ways as well. She's gotten to help with camps in the area and being a blessing to the kids, just providing a godly example and pointing them in the right direction. And then this is Noah Burgie. We have Lissy, Gabby, Ethan, Andrew, and Titus. So that's Brother Brent and Selena's kids, those eight. And then we have Savannah. And then I believe this is Easton and Colin. Those are the Womax three. And then this little guy here is the Byerly's son. So those are our Little Fish Ministries kids so far. And then we have the three foster boys that we care for. So here's our oldest little guy and then the twins. So I do have pictures. We can't, for privacy reasons, we can't share a lot of personal information. So I do have some pictures where you can see their faces on my photo book. And then with the property, they purchased about 13 acres of land, and a lot of it is overgrown. You can kind of see how tall the weeds are here, and some of the weeds are up to the knees, up to the waist. And these men here are working on adding a third bedroom. This house here has two bedrooms and one bathroom, I believe. And so they're working on adding a third bedroom on there. And hopefully that'll be done here pretty soon. And the Burgies have been staying in that cottage. And then pretty soon, once the Burgies' home is built, then Lorna will move in and she'll have that house with her and the 3 to 6 children. And they just designed this logo and they said they want to actually build a play structure that looks like this little ship with the cross. And the name Little Fish Ministries, it came from the story of the little boy with the bread and the fish. And they got the idea from goldfish crackers. So do you kids like goldfish? Do you like goldfish? Yeah. So I have some goldfish crackers for them after service to remind them. So that's your homework now. Every time you eat goldfish crackers, you have to pray for the kids in South Africa, okay? So yeah, that's our goal with Little Fish Ministries, is to see kids like this who... these boys had been abandoned by their family, and social services called and asked the Burgies if they would be willing to take them into their home, and they said yes. And so our goal is really to be able to say yes to many more children. It seems like daily we hear of a child in need of a home or people abandoning babies. And unfortunately, adoption for some reason is looked down upon. There in South Africa, many ladies have shared a testimony of they did not feel equipped to be able to raise their child, so they wanted to put the child up for adoption to provide them a better life, and it was frowned upon by the community, by social workers, by hospital staff. And so as much as we would love to be able to help change that mindset and be able to see some of these kids that come through our ministry placed into a loving home, because God ordained the family a mother and a father, and we'd love to be able to see that for some of these kids and to just provide a good support system for those perhaps who don't get that opportunity, like these little guys. I don't know if they'll ever get the opportunity to be adopted, only the Lord knows, but we get the opportunity to care for them and raise them up now. And with the property, we want to be able to have the support system so that we have godly men and women godly mentors there available for the children. And then here's just some more pictures of Abundant Life Baptist Church, which the Bergies started in 2019. Prior to that, we had been partnering with another church in the area when the Lord laid it on Brother Berge's heart to start a church on the other side of town. There wasn't a church in that neighborhood, and every time he drove through there, he's like, we need a church. And the Lord's like, you're the one. So that's been growing, and through the coronavirus pandemic, the Bergies had to come back to the U.S., and so all of their services went online via Zoom. So we did church every week through Zoom, and then we also did Bible studies and game nights all through Zoom. And the people there, we had many people stay faithful that we looked forward to seeing through Zoom every week. So they're looking forward. They've gotten back and gotten to reconnect with a lot of the people, and so I'm looking forward to getting there and getting to meet some people who I haven't met yet and then reconnect with others who I knew previously. So that's pretty much everything. Did anybody have any questions? I know that's a tough one. I'm not really sure what would be the biggest challenge, but I know one of the challenges, a lot of the people there, they go to church. And so a lot of them are Christians, so to speak, and so they're good people. I don't do this, I don't do that, I give to charity, I go to church Christmas, Easter, occasionally, so I'm a good person. In some of the cultures, like the African people, like some of the tribal groups, some of them still have that animism, spiritism going on. And I heard one testimony like, oh yeah, I should do this because my ancestors would be pleased if I did this. So there is some of that there as well. So there is unrest in different ways. There is a lot of Muslims. To my knowledge, the people that I've met and served with have not had any trouble, any persecution to my knowledge. If they have, I just don't know about it. I know crime rates are very high, and so going into some of the townships, some of the more impoverished neighborhoods, I do know guys who have said they've been robbed, they've had things stolen out of their vehicle, they've been held up at gunpoint and had electronics and money stolen from them. So with that, we're very careful with where we go, how we go, when we go. There are very few places in the community where Brother Berge felt comfortable dropping off the young ladies that serve with their family and just by ourselves. I believe it was the shopping mall that was the only place that me and my friend went by ourselves without being accompanied by Brother or Mrs. Berge. And about once a week, they would drop the two of us off and we could do some shopping at the mall. But that was pretty much the only place that they felt comfortable with us going alone. We would go and minister in the townships, but Brother Berge always, every week, warned us, we're going to go in, we're going to minister. I'm going to take this off. Is this on? Okay. Wait, I can't do this. Okay. There we go. Okay. Is that good? Okay. So yeah, with some of the townships and some of the things, we would go, we would always remind ourselves that we would go in, we would do whatever business we had, do our ministry, and then we would come out and we would get in our vehicle and then we would leave. So just very cautious. We did go into the townships a few times in the evening for their midweek service just to experience that, because it wasn't in English. It was in Xhosa, which is a tribal language. And so that was neat to experience a few of those. And so we did get to do that a few times in the evening, but mostly it was during the day that we went into those neighborhoods because of the security. And with the security concerns on the property we've got, it'll be gated. And then we have, what the Bergies have a German Shepherd. And I know Hannah, our nurse, she has a German Shepherd as well. And so I know those are there. The German Shepherds are there for protection. And so I'm confident, especially in the one. Shadow is the one dog, and he scares me sometimes. So I'm confident that if anybody were to come with evil intent, he would definitely protect his people. So it's good there. So South Africa is unique in that it's multicultural. So there are native languages, but English is the main language of South Africa. So our business in the community, your grocery stores, your banking, they're working with the social services, the children's departments are all conducted in English. So it's not necessary in that sense to learn another language. There are pastors who minister in a neighborhood where perhaps it's Afrikaans or Xhosa or another tribal language, and then they would learn that language to be able to preach and teach in that language. And even those people, most of them will speak English in addition to either a tribal language or Afrikaans. And Afrikaans is a language that has Dutch roots, and there is Dutch and other European settlers. So there's a lot of Europeans in South Africa, or their ancestors were Europeans, and so it's very multicultural in that sense. And so, like, you'll be at the grocery store and you'll see signs in Afrikaans and English, and you'll hear the people, the different languages being spoken, but all of the shop workers and the clerks all speak English, and written materials and things that need to be done as far as government and banking and all that will be conducted in English. And Abundant Life Baptist Church is an English ministry. Not to my knowledge, not yet. I know their focus has mostly been on the little ones, but some of the other pastors, there are other missionaries and pastors that we know in the area, and they have been able to work in that area a little bit more. Prior to starting Abundant Life Baptist Church, we were serving under another missionary pastor, and then the Lord led Brother Bergie to start a church across town. So there is one family who came along with us, and they have two teenage boys similar in age to the Bergie's boys, and so they've been able to minister to them and watch them grow. And my hope really is we got to spend some time with some of the other missionaries, and many of the other missionaries and pastors, they have teenage young men and college-aged men who they're mentoring, they're ministering to, and you'll see them out in the community and they have these boys with them. And what would be really neat one day is if maybe one of those young men would become a pastor or a ministry leader and take one of our boys and then kind of get to lead them up. And we do want to have that where we have a Christian school. We've got a Bible Institute. And right now, everything's kind of in the beginning stages, where this is our property currently. So you can just see the two small buildings and then lots of grass and foliage. So there's a lot to do, but that is really the heart of the ministry. And we want to focus on reaching the children before they hit a lot of the mistakes that older kids do. And even perhaps older kids, where perhaps they didn't make life-shattering decisions, but decisions have been made on their behalf that are perhaps life-shattering. Abuse, neglect, abandonment. And I've seen firsthand where a lot of that sticks with the person, even though they don't physically remember the hunger, their body still, it's like their brain remembers it. And so when they get hungry, they'll break down physically. And just from the outside looking in, you would think, oh, that child's having a temper tantrum. But the parents understand this is due to past neglect as an infant. And so our goal is to be able to get the babies, the toddlers, the younger children, to be able to rescue them from that life before it happens and raise them up in an environment where they don't have to face some of those challenges. Our boys were 1 and 4 when they came to us, and the older one, we suspect abuse happened to him before he came to us. And so it's been really neat to see how he's grown and overcome a lot of those challenges and just grow and mature and stuff, and how he's able to handle different situations that come up. And it's like, it's a whole new ball game working with kids who have been abused, because you look at this and you're like, oh, this is, they're just being naughty. But a lot of it stems from an overprocessing, and their brain didn't develop properly. And so a lot of that has to be retaught and retrained. So if we can get children who are very young, then we have the opportunity to help them overcome some of those challenges and also prevent them from ever happening.
How many youth did they have right now?
Right now, 3. So, yep. So a few years ago, when they got, right after they got to South Africa, they started ministering in the area, and they took in the twins. They had gotten a call one day from the children's services. They've got these twin boys who had been abandoned on the floor, just left alone. And they had been malnourished and neglected. So they'd been malnourished by their family. And so the Burgies took them in. And then the older boy was abandoned at a hospital at the age of 4. And they were able to take him in. And so they started a children's home in their home with their family. And suddenly they were at capacity. They had been able to make room for those 3 boys, but we haven't had the opportunity to take in any more children. So with this property, it will allow us to take in many more children. So South Africa's, their foster care system is different, whereas many times their first placement is their last. So the way that their system, child services system, works is there's temporary safe care where they see that a child is in an unsafe situation. And so they've got people who will take an immediate placement. They'll call them. And that's what happened to the Burgies. They called and said, can you take these boys? They were abandoned. They said yes. So they get filed as a temporary safe care case. And the Burgies provide a safe environment. And what happens next is evaluation, finding the families. Can the family be found? Is the family able to care for these children? If the answer is yes, then reunification, if at all possible. But if the answer is no, as was the case of the boys, then the state, their permanent, someone becomes their permanent guardian. They're placed into a permanent home, whether a children's home or a family says, yes, we will be their guardians, we'll be their long-term caretakers, such as the Burgies. And so that's kind of how it works. And so with that, the children, generally, once that happens, they generally don't leave. They generally stay. There's still that relationship with the social worker, with the courts, to make sure that everything's going well. And if there's a need arises, and so they'll check in with them as needed periodically. But it's not,
The same as in the U.S. where the kids are constantly moving. Once parents' rights are terminated, once it's determined that no, parents are not a good fit, then wherever they go next is generally their permanent home. Yes, good question. So they have a good friend who's a social worker and runs a children's home in the area. And so she was able to take them into her home to with the children's home there and care for them while the Bergies were away. And so they're still staying there. And then the Bergies get to see them throughout the day at different times. And then once we get the property set up, then they'll move them back over with us. They are. Oh, okay. They got back the day after Christmas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
So now, moving forward, you are planning on moving there?
Yes. So my plan is to move this fall. I'm looking at September, October, November, somewhere in that time frame is really my goal. I'm about 40% of my needed support. And so my prayer is that this fall, I will be at 100% and we'll be able to move over there. And also the South African school year, being that their summer is during our winter. So they're on finishing up summer vacation right now and they're starting a new school year. So I want this time next year to be settled in South Africa and be able to start school with the boys. And our older boy is 6, and so I've worked with him. They've had other interns work with him, and he's had different teachers over the past few years. And so really my hope for the twins is they'll be ready to start kindergarten. Yeah, because they're 4, they'll be 5 this fall, and then ready to start kindergarten in January. And so I just want to be able to start in January right there where they're at, get them started so that they don't have to have multiple teachers and her worry about that. We'll just start them in kindergarten and go from there.
So will you be like a teacher for the ministry or working actually for a school district locally?
So it'll be for the ministry children. I don't know if that includes the missionaries' kids. I think that'll probably be up to each individual family, what works best for them. But at least the children in our care that we have custody of. So the 3 little boys that we currently have custody of, I'll be teaching them, and then I'll start with them, and I'll probably focus on more of like the preschool, lower elementary, and then as the kids grow and we get more staff, we'll get other people to help with the different age groups as they grow.
That's so awesome. So like you're a teacher by like your skills and gifts.
Yes, I graduated with an education degree. I've got to work in a kindergarten classroom, which was an amazing opportunity. In December, the teacher ended up having a surgery because of cancer. And so being that I had been with her from the start of school year, she handed me the books, got to take a break, take care of her health, come back in the spring. And I was taught the class while she was recovering from the cancer surgery. And so that was a great opportunity. And then the following year, I got to teach kindergarten in my own classroom. Wow. And then I've worked in preschool off and on over the past couple years as well.
Awesome.
Yes. So in the United States, the schools that I personally worked with used a BECA curriculum. The preschool uses a mixture of both, especially in some of the lower classes. Once I get to South Africa, I'm not sure what curriculum we're going to use. Being that there's so little, we might be able to just kind of create our own and make sure that they hit all the bases, especially in like kindergarten, preschool, first grade. It's not difficult to do that. And Mrs. Berge homeschools her kids, and her oldest daughter is in her 20s and their youngest is 6. So she's got a good idea of different curriculums for different ages and what the kids need. And they use kind of a mixture of different things depending on what works for each individual child. So part of my funding every month, so it'll be Churches in America. The Churches in America will sponsor me, and they'll donate so much per month, whatever each church is able to do. And a portion of those donations will go towards the school to be able to purchase materials and things for them. And I currently have a savings fund set up with the startup fund for the building, for the initial toys and books and desks and furniture and things like that that we would need. I've been researching different toys, trying to find different materials. I have quite the library already collected and like a list of toys that I'd like to purchase before I move. So it's about 15 rand to $1. Rand is the South African currency. And so furniture, kitchen appliances are more expensive in South Africa. A lot of toys can be more expensive, like bikes and things like that, where you might be able to find them discount here. And a lot of times in South Africa, you're paying full price. There's not a lot of discount thrift stores, Ross, Marshalls. So you just kind of have to save up and hit the sales as you can. And also try to buy, like especially with the toys and things, we'll spend the extra money to buy the more expensive ones because they will last. And clothes, I'd say clothes and things are probably about the same. Food is a lot cheaper. And so, yeah, and eating out is very, it's definitely more inexpensive than it would be in the States. And then gas, I did the math or tried to do the math once. And I figured it out. It was, I think, about the same as here, $2 to $3 a gallon. That one was a little tricky because of the different currency. And then they don't use gallons. They use liters. So they use Celsius and liters and kilometers. So I have Celsius on my phone with the weather app. So I drive my family crazy. I'm like, it's 15 degrees today. They're like, no, it's not.
So.
Yes, that's my goal, is to move, and that'll be my permanent home. I'll come back to the States every 3-4 years, check in with different churches, and just get to reconnect with them and show what the Lord's been doing since we last saw, and just see if there were more churches even who would be able to sponsor. I do have more videos on YouTube if you want to see those. If it'll work. Okay.
At what age do they gotta leave?
I'm sorry. What? Oh, yes, they can. So they have a social worker, and so the social worker has placed them with the Bergies, and so Brother Bergie is their legal guardian. And so the plan is for them to stay there until they're 18, unless something were to change, which prayerfully not. I mean, anything could happen, but yeah, that's the idea, is that they would stay there until they're 18. There's that again. So yeah, I got to intern there a few times. So here's a video that I made with just some animals and scenery.
Yeah.
Maybe he come in.
Oops. So there's game parks in the area where you can go and you can pay like a drive-through safari, and you could pay to drive through and just view the animals from your car. So we are quite close to the elephants.
Yo, that's a mouse right there, Hannah. I mean,
no, they're probably used to seeing visitors. Yeah, the lions were quite scary. I think I like the cartoon one better.
He's so cute.
He is very cute.
Because I don't want to get eaten today.
Yes. So the elephants live in an area where they roam free. And where the elephants are, there are wild lions in that park. But those lions that you just saw were in an enclosure where somebody is giving them food.
Did you bring your saddle?
I'm more of a bareback.
Yeah, in South Africa they call it a zebra.
Oh, is that Emily's horse?
Yeah.
That was the royal squirrel from London during my layover. And this was my roommate. She slept on my bed and I carried her around like a baby.
And rats and bats and nasty bees that don't say please. They'll sting your elbows and your knees if you chase them. God made snakes and snails and killer whales. And if you were a baby seal, then you would make a tasty meal for orcas. But God made me like he made the sea. He filled it up with green and blue. He sent his son, his own.
Near the city.
God made everything that was or is or will be. What a crazy biz. I can't believe that I am his forever. Now I
we're right next door to the local animal park.
That could be gross, but it's not, because it's Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. God made me like he made the sea. He filled it up with green and blue. He sent his son, his own.
Yeah, so the property is right next door to the local game park. And so Mrs. Berge even shared the other day, they heard a lion noise one day when they were out walking. And it was from the lions that live next door. I thought I had a playlist on here. Let's try this. No, that's Uganda. That's not South Africa. I thought I had it on here. Let's try one more thing. I was looking for something. Ooh, so it's about a 10-hour flight from LA to London, and then approximately another 8 to 10 hours from London to Johannesburg. And Johannesburg is where they would stamp my passport. I would enter the country, and then another 2 hours or so from Johannesburg to Port Elizabeth, where I'll be living. So it's, yeah, it's a good 2 days. I'm not sure the exact hours, but it's evening here, so it's probably like middle of the night to morning there. Let me think. So I would get up for church at 4 a.m., which was at noon. So it was 4 a.m. in California and noon in South Africa. Here, let's look it up. So it's 6 a.m. there on Thursday. Yeah, so it was always fun when we would log on to Zoom.
Yes. Favorite African food?
Oh, so that's a tough one because a lot of it, like, it was so westernized, but one thing that they had there was meat pies. And I know that's kind of a British thing, but there is a British European influence there. When I was there before, one day a week, we would go into one of the townships and we would go to a local church in an impoverished neighborhood and we'd have a meal and a Bible lesson. And they always had like a stew dish with rice. What? I have never heard of that. So, yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Yeah, South Africa is more developed, so we don't have a lot of that. I know some of the pastors who like pastor in the townships, especially in the Osa neighborhood, they probably get a lot of that traditional food. But even then, the grocery stores, like you can find Oreos and things, so. Like, there's random things like chocolate chips. I was talking with a friend the other day. She's like, make sure you pack chocolate chips. So we are blessed in that we have the grocery stores and the medical facilities close by. And the property is just on the outskirts of town. And so it's within 15, 20 minutes within the doctors, the grocery stores, the social workers. And that's one thing that the Burgies really liked when considering their field is they felt that that was important, especially for their large family, is to have that. And so themselves, I know people, missionaries, who have been able to utilize the medical experts, hospitals, and doctors in the area. I forget how much, but they definitely got a good deal on it. He was telling us that a realtor came by and said, if you ever want to sell. But they're like, nope. So they're pretty excited to get going. And they just love walking around on the land. And the kids will run around. And one of their daughters shared a picture. And the two little boys were playing in the bushes. And they had papers. And it was their map. Or like the little boys walked in front of the girls. They're like, we'll protect you. Hit the weeds with a stick. So, and that's really our goal, is to be able to have a haven for these kids, to be able to have animals. And animals can be very therapeutic. So we want to have some goats and some horses. And yes, you have goats. Okay, awesome. I might need a bigger suitcase. They're getting two goats and from two different places so that they can breed them and start their own little goat herd.
and so that the animals can be therapeutic, and we want to be able to have a baby haven, which is like a temporary safe care spot, so that when a child needs an immediate placement, they can go into that baby haven. And then whether they get moved to out to with family or just move to across the property into one of the permanent dwellings, one of the homes, we'll have that available. And then we want to be able to have places for the kids to learn a trade, learn a skill, have a school and ministry going there as well for some of the kids who are older. And they have some teenagers in the community that they minister to as well. Yeah. Thank you. Currently 3. So it seems like every day they get calls for more children, and there's a huge need, especially during, they're on a very strict lockdown, so they have to be at home on their property by 9 p.m. or the police will come out and they could be arrested. And so with the lockdowns and things, they've abandoned babies. They've found more, some who they were able to rescue in time and others, unfortunately, who they were not able to rescue in time. And so we want to be able to provide a help to moms in crisis, either come alongside and lift her up and allow her to keep the baby. And if that is not possible, then offer a safe place for the child to grow. And there's one of the hospitals there in Port Elizabeth is a trash can. And every day moms just walk out and they just leave the baby and they walk away. So, I mean, I can't even imagine, like I've worked with various children's ministries, and I have a nephew who's about a year and a half. And so I look at some of these kids, I'm like, how could you just like, just leave a baby alone? And they have thought about those, we call them a baby box. I don't know if there's a technical term. Yes. That would definitely be a need, because I believe it's illegal in South Africa to abandon the baby, but adoption is frowned upon. So a lot of times they'll leave the child without notification of who the parents are, because they don't want someone to come back on them. And unfortunately, that means some of these babies are not rescued before it's too late for that child. So we definitely want to be able to have that baby box, have support systems for mothers in crisis. That way we can say, yes, we'll take the baby. If you want to keep your child, we'll come alongside and support you and help you in any way we can. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So thank you for those of you tuning in online. The Lord bless you. Keep Sister Brittany in prayer. Visit her ministry online if you'd like to contribute financially to support her, or most of all, keep her in prayer. With that said, we look forward to seeing you back here Friday night, Simple Faith Baptist Church. The Lord bless.